Allow me to start this podcast with an unusual disclaimer. The main topic of the night was rather difficult. I don't know that I did it justice, and I'm damn sure that I've managed to inadvertently offend some people or upset them. Please know that this was absolutely not my intent, and I hope you give me the benefit of the doubt and a little leeway for trying to struggle through what is a difficult topic and a very touchy subject. Hugs, squishes, loves. Enjoy the podcast. Merry meet, and welcome to episode 27 of Pennies in the Well. I am your host, Saturn, and it is, I don't know, it's September, but it's like 2 days before I leave for the Pagan Pumpkin Supermoot. So bear with me. It's been packing, cleaning, packing, planning, lists to do for days now. And I've had this podcast running through my head going, tape me before you go. So I'm squeezing you in because you guys are that freaking important to me that instead of cleaning for my house sitter, I'm doing a podcast just for you. And so here we go. We're going to cover, actually, strangely, it's a listener feedback kind of inspired podcast. And kind of bear with me a tad just because, you know, my eyes are scratchy and blurry and I'm more than a tad out of it. Anyhow, I'm going to give it a shot because if I don't do it now, God only knows when it'll happen because I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks. So righto, moving along, getting back to that whole listener feedback. Oh, and I guess announcements. Obviously headed off to the Pagan Pumpkin Supermoot. I have a couple of potential podcasty plans that may come out of that, but since I don't know for sure, that's all I'm going to say. Teeny little teaser, a potential Mad Hatterness might come out of this. Oh, life is good. In other news, I got a pet snake. His name is Nexus. He's kind of pink at the moment, but he'll be white eventually. He's a little baby corn snake, and so he's the latest addition to the family. And for those of you who don't like snakes, don't worry. I won't bring it up really probably again. But I just had to share. It's been a big part of the last couple of weeks. So getting right into practicalities, it might even be a shorter show just because I'm going to be so focused on getting done. I wanted to respond in the first segment to Tyson's comment in response to the episode where I did what he told me to do and discussed a bunch of spirituality issues. And in the main segment of the show, I want to talk about weight, as in body and self-perception and all that crap, because I had some feedback from, I think it was the Mad Hatter episode, which I totally understand the feedback, and I do want to go a little deeper into the subject. And then we're going to finish off with a really quick Body Divine segment. So heading into the first one. That's right, I'm moving that fast. Thank you very much. Tyson commented in response to on the episode 26. My God, last episode. So quick, so fast. For the fourth part of the topic outline suggestion, it was rather intended, hopefully, that it would continue on from the third part, in which none of this is making sense right now because the third part of the first part of the second part of the third party. Yeah. Did I mention chaos might just reign supreme tonight? So discussing the inner truths we attain through the work and get you to perhaps portray how through devotional work and the building of our self-confidence, yes, in conjunction, might aid us in breaking through some of these self-imposed limitations. And he's putting this one on me because while he can attest to the clarity arrived at through magical and mystical work, he considers me to be an infinitely better authority on the topic of faith and devotion than himself. Wow. Well, actually, that tends to follow. His view of deity is very different than mine. Mine tends to be very personal and real. And I find I'm going to describe it as operational. Not that there's not interest, care, consideration and all that, just it's a very different viewpoint. But I want to talk briefly, not for a long time, about this interesting notion of the combination of devotional work and building our own self-confidence to break through limitations. It is true that in order to break through a personal limitation, you can either have it thrust upon you, and there's no way to kind of engender that. You to have a breakthrough thrust upon you is... what's the word I'm looking for? Unpleasant? No, that doesn't capture it. It is fucking horrific. That is when shit breaks down, worlds fall apart. You know, world goes Nova. It's all bad. Those are the types of things that are life-altering personal events. And they force you through the limitations. I'm probably exaggerating for some of the cases. Probably not all cases are that distinctly bad. But... that being said, generally, if it happens to you, the breakthrough, it's not going to be good. So to get there yourself, it's an interesting take that he has, using a combination of the devotional and building of self-confidence. When you think that devotional almost feels like you're reaching up to be pulled upwards, and building of your own self-confidence is pulling yourself upwards. So in one, you're reaching out for aid and perhaps to be pulled up. And the other one, you are pulling yourself up into a greater state of consciousness. To work on, to get through your limitations deliberately takes work and courage. Courage certainly is supported by self-confidence. Either that or rampant blind stupidity, because that works wonders too. You know, fools tread where angels fear to go. You know, you can pull off amazing shit by simply blundering into it and ignoring the fact that there's going to be massive consequences. Oh yeah. But, you know, being enlightened spiritual people who are walking this path and deliberately seeking to increase ourselves and our abilities, and to work through our own limitations, to do that on a more deliberate basis, to build up self-confidence certainly is a good way to do that. But the interesting part is obviously the devotional work, and how would that play into working past limitations? And I think that in part comes from trust. The idea of working with deity, when you're working closely with, and it's devotional and it's a relationship, really that's the important part, is it is a relationship between myself and my deities and two-way streets and all that kind of jazz. And that devotional work brings us closer, and the closer that I am to them and experience them back, as it were, you know, like I act or call out and what their response is, you know, that's how we interact. That's how I learn about them. That's how I come to understand what to expect from them in the future. And that understanding of what to expect from them is part of what builds the trust. And when you have that trust, you can do things like rely on them in unusual circumstances to help you through. You can also work with them to break through one of those barriers. When you're not feeling the confidence in order to do it yourself, you can work with your deity to help you past it. Basically, ask them to give you a helping hand to cross over, as it were. And they may or may not help, because, well, that's dependent on their viewpoint of what it is that you need at that point. But that's a whole other topic. So I would say yes, the devotional work, both the devotional work and the building of self-confidence can help you work through the self-imposed limitations. It's the first step, of course, of breaking through those limitations is Usually it's realizing that they're there. You encounter them, or the fear stops you from going to a particular place. And if your fear is really good, you don't even notice that you're avoiding it. You know, it'd be like some crazy street corner that you have some built-in aversion to, and you never actually even go to that street corner. You don't even think about it. You just somehow never actually go there. And then one day, 20 years later, you suddenly realize that there is a street corner near or far, wherever the hell it happens to be, that you have managed to never go to, even though, say, it's on your way to somewhere, or it should be a regular part of your routine, given where its location, somehow you always kind of avoid it. That's that part of realization, is going, holy crap, there is something that I'm avoiding. And deity can be particularly helpful for that, because if you're being particularly dense about seeing it, they can help shove you into realizing that no, there is a limitation there, and perhaps it's time that you work through it there, lassie. So those are my thoughts in response to his comment. Thank you, Tyson, for the comment, for the topic, for all of it. It has been great. And that, my darlings, my dears, my sweets, means that it is time for the first break. I think I mentioned that I was going to be efficient on this, didn't I? Well, so efficient was I that I didn't even pick music yet. So it's going to be a surprise for you, a surprise for me. Let's discover what the musical world has in store for us.
Darwin had a revelation. He said all life evolved from the confusion. He had a theory, it made some people nervous, when he came to the embarrassing conclusion. We come from monkeys, we're not so special, we've only got a little extra DNA. The chimpanzees are very close to us, Australopithecus, he's not so far away. We come from monkeys swinging in the trees, a little bit of monkey inside you and me. Monkey in the middle, a monkey on your back. It's a fundamental problem, but a scientific fact. Come from monkeys. Feeble-minded said creation was the answer. They got upset, then those got out of joint. They say we're missing the monkey in the middle. They're picking it, it kinda proves a point. You're not so hairy, you haven't got a tail, you're not adapted for living in a tree. But if you care, count up all your chromosomes, you're 98.4% a chimpanzee. We come from monkeys swinging in the trees, a little bit of monkey inside you and me. A monkey in the middle, a monkey on your back. It's a fundamental problem, but a scientific fact. We come from monkeys. Monkey bars feel the primal beat. 6 million years we've been walking on our feet. A barrel full of monkeys swinging from the family tree. We don't want to start a social revolution, we just want to talk about some monkey evolution. But the knuckle dragging stool flinging fools just don't want to see. We come from monkeys. Can't handle the thought of evolution, you might just call it intelligent design. But if the universe keeps on evolving, then maybe you should just evolve a bigger mind. We come from monkeys swinging in the trees, a little bit of monkey inside you and me. A monkey in the middle, a monkey on your back. It's a fundamental problem, but a scientific fact. We come from monkeys. Monkey see, monkey do, monkey see, monkey do, monkey see, monkey do, monkey me, monkey you. Let's all face it, it's all true, we come from monkeys.
I'm not sure why that song seems so perfect and appropriate tonight, but I'm going with it. That was We Come From Monkeys by Emerald Rose. Maybe it's because it puts a little levity and a little, I don't know, casualness almost into how we view ourselves. Because now I want to talk about body image, about weight, about how we feel about our bodies. And this is in response to a comment was after the last Mad Hatter episode. And in it, I mentioned that I was doing, I was using my iPhone, my new iPhone, and an app on it. And I was really proud because it was helping me to lose weight. And when I said that, I remember at the time going, Oh, this is going to go over poorly for someone. I just know it. And I tried to couch it at the time in a way that would make it, that would get across the deeper part of what I meant. And I think I failed. So being as how it's my podcast, I get to talk about it more at length. It's a topic I wanted to get to at some point anyways, and will undoubtedly come up again because I'm just going to talk overview typey stuff. I'm not going to get into some of the manifestations of the craziness of shit that we do in regards to our bodies, like eating disorders, for instance, that may come up on another show. But in the meantime, I want to talk about kind of three aspects in relation to this. One is just a reminder about the fallibility of your podcaster. And number two is talking about kind of global thoughts on this subject. And number three is coming back a little bit to my own personal experience. Two and three may blend more than I intend, but my current intention is to keep them a bit separate. So here goes nothing. First off, the fallibility of your podcaster. So yeah, this should not be a newsflash, but I ain't perfect, people. No. I do not know it all. I am not perfect. I say the wrong thing. I am a lot. I don't respond to emails in a timely fashion. God, that pisses me off. And yet, even though it pisses me off that I do it, I still do it. I hate shit like that. So at some point that will be I am diving into this and figuring out what the hell is wrong with me. But that's not the topic of the day. I do just want to remind you that I try and say things in the best way possible for me at a given time. It doesn't mean I succeed. And I may well piss you off. And if I do, well, depending on how I pissed you off, I may or may not feel sorry about it. But I do hope that you would, if you feel like it, give me a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. I generally am not out to hurt people. Unless they, really ask for it. sorry, I went to a naughty place and I don't actually. Anyway, that would be a little TMI, I think, for the podcast. So we're going to move a little bit on from there. Just wanted to say, remember, I'm fallible, not perfect. Enough on that. So let's get into the psychotic craziness that is weight and body image in our society. Holy fucking crap, is it a nasty thing. And this is a large part of why I spend a lot of time talking about the body and working with it and integrating with it. And it's kind of funny to talk about integrating it when I'm still referring to it as an it, but that's kind of how most of us see our bodies, is something separate. It's not fully there, it's not in our head, it's not whatever the heck you want to call it. We see it as separate, and that to me is wrong. We're not here without our bodies. That's if we're here and we have no body, I'm sorry, we're a ghost and living is no longer possible. You're just kind of floating around like a crazy little phantasm until you fade away or get exercised in the other type of exercise. That's kind of a funny twist given where this is going to go. So, society, as we know, really horrible fucking take on weight. And it's the, to be beautiful, you need to be young, you need to be a certain weight, a certain size, a certain look. I will say that I think that there is certain things that do strike us as beautiful as a race, and in the global race, the human race kind of thing, because it's very easy for us, it seems to be, that we can agree on beauty in certain cases. But that aside, that particular ideal of beauty, to try and apply it to the entire friggin' race is ludicrous. And to, I mean, you could go on at length about the insanity of society when it comes to weight, of the way that big companies use it to make even more money for themselves, the psychotic break between advertisers' messages and how they present them. You know, the sexy people eating the crappy food. It happens, don't get me wrong, but as if to imply that, oh yes, you can eat our food and be thin too. You know, say for McDonald's, young, happy families always eating there. Is that reasonable? Is that realistic? Or is it more like people of Walmart? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Google people of Walmart. And I'm just thinking that, you know, I don't want to tread on toes. I really don't. And I don't want to make people feel bad in regards to this. But people, Walmart really shows us where people have fallen down, in a sense, on how they feel or care or demonstrate their caring about their own looks. Because ultimately, you know, it doesn't, the people Walmart thing, it's not pretty. You may not want to look. It's people who are almost at their worst, or if you want, they're also highly brave, because they've gone fuck you to any convention of what our society considers standard attire, shall we say. Yeah, moving on from there. So society, psychotic, delusional over how it wants us to look a certain way in order to be popular, beautiful, loved, important, you know, to get all these wonderful things, all you have to do is look the right way. And in a shallow sense, that is kind of true. If you're very beautiful, there are doors that open up to those people, but that they're not the doors that we're talking about on this podcast. This podcast is about opening doors on spiritual levels. That kind of opening door, that's just part of the shallowness of our society that goes, ooh, pretty, we'll give it more. It's not fair. It's not, I was going to say realistic, but that's not the right word. It's just kind of offensive, honestly. But, you know, that's what we live with. Surrounded by. It takes effort and thought and all kinds of work to move beyond that and to realize that there is so much more to be had and to give to ourselves than what society is offering up in regards to our body weight and our body image. Now, there is a lovely post up by Diane Sylvan, S-Y-L-V-A-N, about body image. This was recent, and I'll post it on the show notes. She's also the author of The Body Sacred and The Circle Within, and she's recently done some fiction work, I believe. I will say that her pagan books, those two books, are fabulous. Oh my God, highly recommend. Truly, highly recommend. The Circle Within is about working deity from a very personal perspective, and fabulous. The Body Sacred, if the body work that I talk about on the show appeals to you, you want that book. That book is all about dealing with your body, working with it, integrating image, self-image, all the rest of it. Go there. Absolutely. Fabulous read. I was seriously impressed by. So she did a post about it, about that was really trying to break down the barriers that society puts up in regards to weight. One of the ones, and this is one that I fall prey to. Once again, the podcaster is not infallible. 'Cause one of the ones that I fall prey to, and to some degree I do believe it. It's I'm evolving too. Let's just put it that way. So, and that topic is, you know, instead of saying that people, well, you know, should be thin or look pretty or particular way, well, they just need to be healthy. And that, well, you should be healthy thing is two levels she brings to it, or at least I think she brings to it. One is that, damn it all, if I want to be unhealthy, it's my choice. And that's fair. You know, that's true. You want to be unhealthy, it's your choice. It's just like, you want to smoke, it's your choice. You want to, you want to do anything in your life, it's your choice. And whether that thing that you do makes your life better or worse, still your fucking choice. You know, whether it brings you health or not, it's your choice. Abso-freaking-lutely. Personally, I tend to recommend to choose things that make your life healthier, stronger, more enlightened. You know, I have a particular path in mind that I want to encourage people to go on, a path of self-discovery, of becoming more, of understanding better, of integration. And I am for health. I am for mental, physical, emotional, spiritual health. So it's hard for me not to embrace the idea of being healthy when it comes to your body. However, this is the important part when it comes to health and the body. And that is that health is not about being at a gym, you know, 6 days a week, 3 hours a day, trimming your body fat down to next to nothing, and looking a particular way. That has shit all to do with health. That has everything to do with image. That's right. I said it. Has nothing to do with health. Oh, okay. It has aspects of health. I'm overstating. But, you know, it's kind of fun to overstate periodically. You know, it's got more drama. But the fact is, that is not, that is a version of health, but that can be taken to an unhealthy place. You know, when you overwork, you can end up with injuries. Too low a body fat is, you know, unhealthy as a regular human being. For a woman who goes too low in her body fat, her period shuts off. That is nature going, fuck, honey, you can't even safely bear a child right now. So we're not even going to give you the opportunity because your body is fucked for what we think is right, normal, and useful for, you know, a potentially productive member of our society. So health is not about reaching a particular state that is defined by someone else. Health is about reaching a state where you feel good. That's it. Where you feel good. Where you feel good in your body. This does not mean that you have to lose a ton of weight in order to be healthy. I believe that being able to move around and breathe and do stairs is a healthy thing. If you have so much weight that, no, I don't even want to go there, because as soon as I say so much weight, it makes you go, oh shit, she's talking about me. No, no. Take from any of this what you will, but try and hear in it that you are beautiful as you are. Absolutely. And I'm going to talk about change in a little bit, and why, when and why it's actually useful to apply change to your body state. I think I sidetracked myself a little too much on that one. So, oh, I'm lost. Somebody help me. Bring me back. I don't want to stop the podcast and rewind so that I know what I was talking about, because that seems a bit of a failure. Body. I guess we're moving on to a different point now, because my brain has just hiccuped in the worst possible way. So I know we were talking about personal, oh, health. That's where I was. Huh. Let me see, if I ramble long enough, I can eventually get back. So health for me is being able to move around to the point that you enjoy. Sometimes our bodies don't let us go to the extent that we really enjoy. Like, for instance, for the last 9 months, for longer than that, actually, dancing has not been on my list of even think about it activities. And I love dancing and I miss it horribly. So that would be a type of movement that I desperately wish I could do, but my body's limiting me from it. But that has to do with my body's limitations. For the simple joy of moving, to get up, to be moving within the constraints that your body allows is healthy, in my opinion, and I advocate it. Does that mean that you need to go to the gym? No. Does that mean that you have to lose weight? No. It just means, you know, move. Moving is good. Healthy. Okay, I want to tell a story. Yes, I want to tell a little story. So several, many, whatever, years ago, we won't talk about it. I had my roots recently colored, so there's no telling by that my hair how old I am. Thank you very much. I was talking with a woman who I knew through the SCA, which is the Society for Creative Anachronism, medieval recreationists, if you will. And she was talking about having been at the doctor's and doing physical tests. And I mean, this was not, you know, a thin woman. This was not a petite woman. This was someone who she carried around some extra poundage. But she danced in the society. She was always doing stuff. It just worked out that on her body she had, you know, what other people would consider a fair amount of extra weight. So she goes into the doctor and he gets her on the treadmill and he's doing, you know, that kind of stress test or whatever to see how her heart reacted and everything. And he was shocked because of how well she did. Because in his head, that extra weight meant that she was unhealthy. And that's the lie right there. Extra weight is not unhealthy. Being thin is not automatically healthy. Those are fucking lies. Health is about how you feel and how well your body is living. And if it's living great at the weight you're at, screw society. Be happy with where you are. I have a coworker who, to put a very different spin on how people perceive things, she recently had a child and she was in the other day and she's so proud because she's managed to come back up. Not down, but up to her pre-birth or pre-pregnancy weight. She is so thin that when she was pregnant, the baby ate up all the extra anything that she ate, and she lost weight, especially when she actually gave birth. I mean, she dropped. She was so thin. It was scary. So she's actually managed to get back up to her pre-pregnancy weight, plus a pound. For her, the struggle isn't about losing weight, it's about gaining weight. And the point here is that weight is not just about, oh my God, you're fat, you need to lose it. No, there are people who are too thin. There are people who have made themselves too thin. There are people that struggle to put on more weight. And there are people who are perfectly beautiful. Actually, most people are perfectly beautiful where they are, quite honestly. I probably should say everyone, but I really don't know if I can, because there are some people I look at and go, honey, you need to gain some weight because you're too thin. And some people I look at and go, oh, I kind of think that you need to lose a little weight. Not because it's, and I know I'm pissing people off and screw it, I'm going to do it. It's not because they need to lose weight for looking better. It's not like I look at them and go, oh, you're ugly because you're fat. No, I look at them and go, I'm concerned. It's the same thing I feel when I see too thin people who are too thin, not, you know what I mean? I get concerned that they're not healthy. That's it. That's the only thing typically that I'm seeing. Now, okay, the people of Walmart, they need to change their clothes because they're making really hideous choices. Oh, dear God. Some of those people are overweight, but it's not the overweight part. It's the how they present themselves with their weight, because self-image shows. If you don't love your body and you're throwing on things that present you in the worst possible way, that it's almost like a self-inflicted bad times in society thing. I don't know. So anyhow, people have different weights, are looking for different things. I do want to go into very briefly, I know it's, sorry, a little disjointed, but I'm trying. The self-perception part of weight. Oh, wow, that's a big doozy. I have met so few people in my life who are actually happy with where they are. How tragic is that? How absolutely sad and tragic is it that people, like, I look at somebody and go, my God, you know, you look great. You look fabulous. And not just women. This is also men. But women, I think, are more used to talking about it. But do not think for a second that men don't fall into this category too. In fact, as the years go by, more men are having eating disorders and are basically acquiring all the crap things that have been put on women, the men are now taking on too. Yay for equality. They can now be as screwed up as we are. Anyhow, so I look at, and I'm thinking of one person in particular that I work with, and she's tall, she's slim, she looks great from my point of view. I'm like, seriously, honey, what the hell? She can't get over that she has this extra 5 pounds, you know, and she has a bit of a rounded belly, and it just makes her crazy. And I realized way before I met her, like, you know, 10, 15, whatever years ago, that weight is so personal that just because you look at somebody and think that they need to lose weight to gain weight, or that they look, and this is the most common one, absolutely fabulous as they are, your feeling, thinking, believing that doesn't change their perception one iota. Your personal perception about your weight is your personal perception about your weight. And that is the part that, damn it, as I want to say spiritual activists, because we are fucking active in regards to our spirituality, that's the part that we need to grasp hold of and to make our own and to make real conscious choices, fully aware of what's informing those choices about what we do with our bodies. That's what's important. So you cannot change someone else's mind on how they feel about their body, not easily. I'm sure if you're a therapist and you work with people, that, yes, you could do. But, you know, you're sitting there going, honey, you look just fine the way you are. I don't know why you'd want to change, is denying the fact that they're not happy with where they are. So I never say that to people anymore. I do. I try to encourage them to a realization that they're great where they are. But I accept that my saying it is a drop in the bucket, and that it's their personal perception that matters. And I can't, and I should not, deny their personal perception. I should be understanding of their personal perception, and within that context, share with them my perception in hopes that it might broaden their viewpoint. Because people do have the most widespread and crazy notions about their bodies. So let's get a little, let's take another step on the road of conversation, and let's talk about some of the sources of why we feel so crappy about how we look. How is it that, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if it's like 99 point something or other of society, of people, feel crappy about how they look a decent portion of the time. Wouldn't surprise me. Okay, maybe it's not that high, but still, it's not like it's 50%. It's not like 50% of the people out there are happy with how they look on a 24/7 basis. I really don't believe that. And that is so sad. Why shouldn't we be happy with how we look? And okay, there's a couple of different things that tie into this. So part of it, obviously, there's the whole society side, which we've already touched on. But when we're not happy with how we look, when we want to change, when we want to change how our body looks, a lot of times I find what's driving it is underlying emotional drives, an underlying emotional push, because we're not happy. We don't feel well, that we're good people almost. And why is it? Okay. What the hell with the if I lose weight, I'll find love thing? Originally, I was hoping that was going to come out a little more coherently in the planning of this, but my planning fell to the wayside, and here we are. But seriously, if you think that by losing weight or gaining weight or changing how you look in a significant fashion, and I don't just mean, you know, looking after yourself, which is, you know, in this day and age, yes, getting your roots done, or maybe not. Maybe it's just embracing your natural hair color, but getting a really nice haircut to show yourself off to advantage. There's nothing freaking wrong with showing yourself off to advantage, to making yourself look good so that you feel good about it. Loving yourself is part of it, is presenting yourself to the world in a way that makes you feel beautiful and confident, because you should be. No matter what your body size, you are beautiful and you should feel confident in your body. And if it doesn't match other people's ideal of what your body should be, fuck them. Absolutely fuck them. We are a judgmental society. We look at people and we make instant judgment calls about them all the time. Not just about physical body, but, you know, personality, all the rest of it. Judgment calls left, right, and center. And it matters worth shit. It doesn't, in the slightest. What matters is how you view yourself. And unfortunately, we have internalized this expected judgment from the outside world into how we look. Because I've known a lot of people who, you know, the reason that they're not happy with their body is because, you know, they have too much, you know, around their middle or something. So, you know, they'll grab that layer of fat at their waist and go, see, I have this and this isn't good. Well, yeah, the doctors will say if you have extra weight around your middle, you're at higher risk for heart disease or whatever the heck it is, yada, yada. And you could make an argument for the health thing there, but really, I think it comes from this expectation from society that goes, you know what, you shouldn't have that. Look at the people on TV who are all happy and glorious, and look at the models, and look at the people who are making the money. They don't have that extra roll of fat, so you shouldn't either. And we internalize that. And that, if that is what drives someone to want to change their body, that is ludicrous. It should not be society's expectations of what people should look like that drive our choices for change. No. Hell fuck no. And like I said, it shouldn't also be the, well, you know, if I lose 20 pounds, I'll be lovable. That is such a real statement for some people. You know, there is this underlying belief, if I just lose weight, if I just change my hair, if I just do this, if I just do that, I will be lovable. Beautiful people, and I mean all of you listening, you're all beautiful and you're all worthy of love, and you don't have to change for that. There is no changing in order to be worthy of love. You are worthy of love as you are, undoubtedly, unfucking questionably. To want to change so that you can find love. If someone's only going to love you if you look a certain way, do you really want to be with them? Nah, I don't think so. So I'm going to leave the love thing alone now. So don't change for somebody else, ultimately. Bad. Now, changing and that whole reasons that we want to change. So I touched on the societal part. Now let's go to the other side, because some of it isn't about society. There are other reasons to want to change your weight. And that's okay. You know, you need to actually look at what it is that's driving your desire for change. For instance, if we got away from weight, this would be, you know, easier to talk about when it comes to change. It's almost like we feel that in order to be truly supportive of people and to be accepting of all shapes and sizes, that you're not allowed to change. You have to accept what you are as is. And I don't believe that. I believe you need to love yourself and love your body as you currently are. But that you are fully open to changing that as well. It's like, you know, pick any skill out there. You know, sewing. You can choose, when you start out sewing, you're not going to be very good at it. And this is a bit of an odd example, but bear with me. So any skill that you have, you're not going to be very good at it. But that doesn't mean that you hate yourself for not being good at it. You simply recognize that this is your starting point. This is where you are right now. You may have had some innate talent, or you may not have. You may be fabulously good at it from the beginning. You may not be. It doesn't matter. You are where you are. And we put no value on that. We don't judgment it when someone is simply coming to something. It just is. And from there, you know, you can choose to improve your skill or not. And if you choose to improve it, you're going to work at it. It's going to take time. You're going to learn shit and yada yada. And if you don't, it's not going to change. And we don't judge that either way. We go, okay, so you wanted to learn to sew. Groovy on you. You know, more power to you. We applaud people for deciding to make change in their life and doing it. But we get really twitchy when it comes to weight, because it's so emotionally felt. But if you think about it in that other type of context, if it's just something that you have evaluated and you look at and you go, I want to change X about myself. You know, I decided to learn swimming this year. So, and if you haven't heard, I get seasick from it. Talk about your evil ironies. God damn it. There's nothing that said that I had to. And you know, people have been really supportive and like, way to go. That's really cool. The point is, if I had never done it, it wouldn't have mattered. It was simply, I was in one state and I've chosen to change that state of being for myself. So in the end, when it comes to weight, I believe that anyone who wants to change it, that's perfectly fine. You're allowed to want to change your state of being. It's okay. And really important, just because you want to change it doesn't mean you hate where you are now, or you shouldn't hate where you are now. You need to love and accept who you are now. You brought yourself here. One of the other things that I've been working on recently is getting my finances under control. I feel like I've grown up, quite honestly, in the last couple of months in certain particular areas. I was never good at managing my money. And I finally have really accepted things in regards to that. And I've really embraced making those changes. And I've lost my train of thought again. God damn it. I am so sorry, people. What are you going to do with me? Well, suddenly the drunken sailor song is running through my head, and that has a lot of unfortunate potentials in it. So let's come back to talking about weight, and maybe my train of thought will come back. Because making change, you want to do it for health. Oh, I don't remember the point I was getting to was that I'm in debt, and I've got a fair amount of debt. Like a significant amount of debt. I mean, it's not, oh my God, eye popping, I'm going to go under kind of debt. But if I kept going the way I was, I would have ended up there. Now, having truly looked at it, and looking at it is often the hardest part. It's like, you know, admitting you have a problem. It's the hardest part. It really sucks. But it could have frozen me. It could have also caused me to hate myself. I could have sat there and gone, you fucking bint, you stupid bitch, you have screwed us over, and look at us now, look at the position you've put us in, how could you do that to me, blah, 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 blah. Self-hate, 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 self-hate. What a worthless enterprise is self-hate. How utterly pointless. It says, I deny all the choices that I've made. I deny, you know, the underlying issues that were, you know, in play here. It denies everything, and it denies yourself power. It denies that, anyhow. So I don't hate myself for getting myself in this financial position. I look at it and go, well, you know what? I had a lot of fun in my 30s. Thank you, money. And I have some very nice things around me. And there's certain things that I look at and I go, well, that was a damn fool thing to get myself in debt over. And there are other things I look at and go, you were totally worth going into debt over. And in the end, none of that matters. It's simply an accepted, well, it's where I am. Pure and simple. That's all it is. There's no self-hate in it. And there shouldn't be with our bodies either. There should be no self-hate in where we are. It simply is where we've gotten to. And maybe, you know, we've gotten to a place that we don't necessarily like as much. It's okay. Just because you don't necessarily like the state that you're in doesn't mean that you also hate yourself for it. There's a very small but distinct difference in there. I hope you caught it. It's like with the money part, I don't like being in debt. I really don't. Sucks ass, man. Instead of being able to spend money on, you know, fun shit, I'm paying back money to all the fun shit I already had. But it's not fun. It is not fun being deep in debt. It's something that, you know, it's a weight on your back. It's difficult. It's something I have to work out of. You know, there's a lot of discipline involved. And unless there's, you know, whips and chains, discipline just isn't that fun of a word. And I don't like it, but I don't hate myself for it. That's the important thing. I don't like where I am. I'm making deliberate choices and steps to change where I am, but I don't hate it. I don't hate myself for it. I don't blame myself for it. You know, well, beyond the fact that, yeah, I got myself here. It's not that I blame. I simply accept responsibility for what I've done, and I keep going. Okay, the same thing, try and take that feeling, because it's relatively easy with the money part, take that feeling over to the weight and to go, okay, you know what, I don't like where I am. And this is where I was earlier this year. I didn't like where my body was, but I didn't hate it. I didn't hate my body. I just didn't like where it was. And that brings you to a really funky choice moment. Because you can choose to change or not. If there's no hate involved, then you just sit there and go, oh yeah, I don't like it. But in order to change, you know, other things have to change as well. If you want to change how your body physically looks, you got to make some lifestyle changes. And do you really want to make them? Because really, you know, your body is absolutely fab as is. You know, love it as it is. And to change it means changing your diet, your, you know, movement habits, changing your lifestyle. Is it worth it? And it's really just a, you know, what's more important to you? Where do you want to spend yourself, as it were? I decided, this is where we start crossing over to the personal stuff. I decided that, you know, I've really enjoyed where I've been. Food-wise as well. And we'll get into some of the other stuff too in a minute, but I wanted change. I was ready to change. And I was very willing to change my food habits to accomplish that. If you're not interested in paying the price of something, you're never going to get it. In which case, if you're not willing to pay the price, why the fuck fret it? You know what? It's like if you wanted to learn how to sew, we're coming back to the sewing, and you wanted to increase the skill. Well, to increase the skill, you gotta practice. That's a given with any skill, right? In order to get better at something, in order to change, you have to put in the time and the energy and the effort in order for that change to happen. And with any type of thing, like the swimming, with the sewing, whatever, you have to sit there and go, is it worth it? Do I want to spend my time and money and energy on that thing? Is it worth it to me? Or would I rather it goes to somewhere else? Is it worth the cost of doing X to do it for me? you know. And the same thing goes if you're talking about losing weight, is to evaluate and go, is it really worthwhile? I know people who are like, you know what? Yeah, I'd like to lose a few pounds, but I don't want to change my lifestyle. Well, then they've gone, yeah, I don't, you know, like necessarily everything about where I am, but I'm happy enough with it that, no, screw it. I don't want to change my world. You know, I really hope that made sense. And I want to dive in now a little bit into some of the other reasons beyond society that can drive weight issues, because this is where it is for me. I think if you want to change your weight because society says that you will be more beautiful, it's a fucking stupid reason to do it. And I think that if you want to change your weight because you're going to be more loved, it's a fucking stupid reason to do it. I think if you want to choose your weight because you'll feel better physically, I think that's a pretty decent reason to do it. I think if you want to change your weight because because your weight embodies something that is negative for you, then that might be a reason to change. So I'm going to go into my personal experience because that's the only way I can figure out how to describe what I want to say here. My body weight fluctuates on how I'm feeling in regards to me interacting with the greater world and men. Now, I've mentioned that bad shit happened earlier in my life, and you know, I've encountered rape and I've encountered sexual abuse, and it's nasty shit, and it left me with extreme body issues. So I've worked for years at overcoming eating for emotional reasons, because I that's for me is part of my spiritual development, in that I want my body and spirit to work together, and I don't think it's healthy for my body to express its negative emotions and to smother emotions via food. I don't think that's a healthy reaction. That's just another way. It's a coping mechanism that leads to unhealthy results. And so I actively worked on that for a really long time. And that leads me now to an ability to make choices about my weight that are controlled by choice rather than by uncontrolled emotional responses that are buried in my body. So as I was saying, my weight would fluctuate based of, like, I would lose weight, feel attractive, then I might get involved with somebody and I would get afraid. And so I put weight back on because it was a barrier between me and men. So for me at this point, I'm looking to make my body to a place, take my body to a place where I'm happy, to happier in it. It's so hard to say this and not come across as losing weight is good, because that was essentially the problem or the feeling that I gave across, at least to one person in that Mad Hatter episode, was that I was saying losing weight is good. And I don't want to say that. Losing weight isn't inherently good. It's not inherently bad. It's just a choice, a change. And to make it or not is just a choice. So I'm doing it because I choose to, because I know that I physically feel better at a lower weight. And when I say that, we need to be very clear here. I'm not talking about being like, you know, 120 pounds. I don't think my body could go to 120 pounds. I think I'd be anorexic. I'm not talking 140 pounds. I'm not talking 150 pounds. I'm talking like if I get down to like 170, I'll be happy. I'm not talking about being thin and all muscular. I have padding and I will continue to have padding. Thank you very much. I just want some less of it is what will make me personally happy. And this is the important, another important point. Just as I was talking earlier about perception, and you cannot change someone else's perception about their body, and we shouldn't equally, you know, I'm certainly trying not to judge people on their weight. You know, where they are is where they are, and they're beautiful where they are. And I said, the only real judgment I make is I have health concerns sometimes for people given their weight. The other thing we can't judge, or I don't believe we should judge, is someone's honest desire to want to change. I'm not telling you that you need to lose weight, to anybody out there. I'm not saying that being thinner is better. All I'm saying is that for me, at this point in my life, I want to lose some weight. And it's intriguing in a sense that it wasn't okay for me to say that. I find that a very interesting statement on us, actually. And that I was aware, as I said it, that it was going to be a problematic statement. Isn't that interesting? That the pagan community has become so concentrated on being good with all body types, but particularly the, you know, it's okay to be fat. And it is. It is okay to be fat. Let me say that again. It is okay to be fat. In fact, there's a lot of beauty to be had. Ooh, I know some belly dancers who, you know, they've got that extra roundage thing going on, and holy crap. Oh, at our pagan pride day, we had a series of dancers, and there was one, and she has extra weight, she has some few rolls, and she has quite the chest, and I tell you, people were fucking entranced, absolutely entranced. They were also entranced by another dancer who was there, who is like rail thin. It's just different. That's all it is. But the pagan community has gotten so focused on being good with larger people, right? Like that we have to prove that we are good with people having greater weight. And we have to make the point repeatedly that there is beauty there, and that we are really working at breaking away from that societal concept of everyone has to be thin and yada, yada, yada. But we're doing it so hard that there's this weird backlash of, if you talk about wanting to lose weight, that you're a bad person, because you want, it's almost like, well, you're then trying to deny what your body is. And I'm like, no, that's where I find it intriguing. And what I also want to combat and go, no. If somebody wants to honestly change, and the reason for their change is a good one, then why the fuck don't we support that? If somebody wanted to go out and change their hair, I'd support it. If they wanted to go out and learn a new skill, I'd support it. If they wanted to, you know, change their relationships to a place that they are happier with, I'd support it. So why the difficulty about weight? I think it's because there's a lot of personal judgment. We internalize a lot with what people talk about. When I said it in the Mad Hatter episode, the part of what I was concerned about and what I expect happened is that I hit a trigger for someone else, a sore spot. And weight is such an intensely sensitive topic, hugely. So, and I hope that I am making it through this episode without treading horribly on people's toes, and that I'm making at least some sense, and that I don't make anyone feel bad, because God knows I don't want to make anyone feel bad, because you shouldn't. You should feel love, because I love you all. And okay, if you're a really whacked out crazy psycho person who would come to my door and like sleep on the doorsill and, you know, stalk me or something, I don't know that I love you, because that's just weird and creepy. But aside from that, you get the idea. People are beautiful in so many different ways. There was this the Dove campaign for real beauty. The website's not up anymore, but they were embracing looking at people, and you didn't have to just be young. You didn't have to be perfectly fit to be beautiful. And it was so true. And it is true. I just want to make the point that if people want to change what they are, that's okay too. Like I said, my reason for changing is because what the weight represents for me. It doesn't represent, you know, a failure to meet society standards. It represents fear. It represents my fear to the world. And by holding on to that weight, I'm holding on to the fear. Being able to release the weight in a very calm, extended over time, rational process makes me feel that I am getting past that fear. You know, and will this last forever? Who knows? You know, in 2 years, I might go, yeah, I miss having cheesecake more than I do now. Though, honestly, I with the emotional parts, I've worked through so many of them that this has actually just been easy. It's just been a, you know, eat less. It has worked for me. But that's just for me. That's the, this is the final part of this segment, is that this was my experience. Just that. That's all it was. It is, I want to do this thing. And I'm really happy because I'm succeeding at it. And I'd like to think that that should just be a happy thing. To have made a choice to change something in my life to a place that makes me feel better. Is that a bad thing? I guess I can feel it even as I say that. Oh, but you're saying that it feels better to be thin. Like, no, I'm saying that I feel better when I'm thinner than where I am now. I'm not saying that it feels better to be thin. I'm saying what feels better for me personally. And that is the tricky part. Weight is personal. Weight is individual. And to judge it any point past that is going to be ultimately a failure. So now that I've managed to upset and offend, you know, some decent portion of my, the people who are crazy enough to actually listen to this podcast, I'm going to leave that part as is, because that was one fucking long segment. So much for this being a shorter show. I tried, people, I really did. But that topic is really goddamn intense and had a lot of components to it. And I think I touched on everything that I wanted to. I hope it made sense. I hope that, you know, it has made you think a little bit, maybe open things up a little bit. And I really, truly hope that I have not caused anyone pain through this, because I really, that it's sad to cause pain from something like this. I really hope I didn't do that. Once again, your podcaster is not infallible. So if I said things in a horrible way, I really tried not to. And I tried to explain where it was that I'm coming from. And I'm going to leave it at that, because if I try and say anything more, it's just going to degenerate into me talking in circles. And I already have a cat who's walking around me in circles, and we don't need to propitiate this kind of scenario. So we're going to take a break. I do want to say, thank you. The regular things. Thank you for downloading the show. Thank you for making it through that segment, hopefully without deleting it, without swearing and cursing at me. If you want to swear and curse at me, you know what? Go right ahead. Yeah, it's called a learning experience for me too. And feedback is always good, because, you know, without that person's feedback, this particular episode probably would not have come to you, or certainly wouldn't have come to you at this time and in this particular way. And that's not a bad thing. So let's take a break, and we'll find out what crazy tarot card and runestone has brought us this particular episode. That should be particularly interesting tonight. And then we're going to close out with a, like I said, really quick Body Divine segment and some music I still haven't picked for the end of the show. So let's enjoy the break, and I'll see you on the other side. Episode 27 of Pennies in the Well is brought to you by the tarot card, the King of Pentacles, intriguing, and the runestone, come on, out of the bag, need, interesting, intriguing in both cases.
I'm Oriah the Sphinx from Media Astra Actera, a podcast for witches, magicians, and others of the occult persuasion. Join me for a thought-provoking blend of magic, witchcraft, and natural science as we explore worlds both inner and outer, above and below. You can find the show on iTunes or at sphinx.libsyn.com. And I hope you'll join me in standing Media Astra Actera.
And welcome back to episode 27, you crazy folks who are still with me here. So let's go into a very short little Body Divine segment. I really got to record that for a proper intro. This one that I want to do for you is a very simple, short exercise that anyone can incorporate into their daily routine at any point during the day in order to better connect with your body. And it is simply this. Spend like 20 seconds. You can spend longer, you can spend shorter, your choice. But to give you an idea of how short it is, just like 20 seconds, whatever. And preferably naked, works better that way, but not required. Touch yourself. And I don't mean in the cutesy little sexual way of, you know, rubbing certain things to make yourself, ooh, all happy. I mean, touch yourself. Start at your toes and go up. Start at your head and go down. Run your fingers over your eyelids and your cheeks and your mouth and across the back of your neck. And maybe run your fingers through hair if you've got it. Rub down your arms. Feel your arms. Feel the muscles in them. Feel under your arms, you know, across your chest. If you have breasts, you know, hold them. Run your hands down your back, across your butt, across your legs, between your thighs, down your legs, tickle your toes. Touch your body without, you know, judgment, without thinking about it. Just touch yourself and let yourself revel in it. Let yourself be comforted by it. Better than looking in a mirror, and because mirrors are separation of self from self and put judgment into it. Remove that part. Touch is much more caring in that sense and much more connective. So that is the exercise that I suggest for you to, if you want to just have a nice little easy connect with your body thing. And it is powerful. Do not underestimate simplicity in this case, to just let yourself touch and be comforted by your own touch, and to recognize how it feels to simply lovingly touch yourself. And if you're not feeling the love for your body at this point, you know what, just start with touching and just notice how it feels. What do you feel? How do you feel? What does your body feel like? What are the sensations that come to you? How does your body react to being touched by yourself? And again, not meaning the sexual part. I mean, if you want to go there, that's fine. Not trying to stop you. But to get away from the idea that all touch is sexual and that all personal touch is sexual and that in order for touch to be really great, it has to be sexual. Touch can be absolutely fucking fantastic if it comes from someone you trust. And who better to trust than yourself? So on that note, we're going to wrap up the show a little bit longer than usual, but you know, the topic kind of demanded it. And I actually picked out some music to close on. I think I'm going to do two Michelle Mays songs. So, you know, if you're not into the music, skip to the end. The first one is Gently Johnny, because, well, maybe on the sexual side, but you know what? It's celebrating the body, and doesn't matter what size you are. It's just about feeling it and loving it. And the second song is Earth My Body, because I wanted to get in a nice little pagan chant, and the idea of the earth is the body, you know, that whole self-hatred of the body and self-hatred of the earth. And I could go on at length about that, but we have no more length left in this podcast. And so we have to wrap it up, and wrap it up we shall. Thank you again for downloading the show. Well, hopefully you enjoyed it, or well, perhaps hated it, but either way, feel free to let me know by emailing me at penniesinthewell@gmail.com or leaving a comment on the website, penniesinthewell.com. And, yeah, in the meantime, enjoy life, get out, have fun, maybe see you at the Pagan Podkin Supermoot, and as always, may the blessings of the deep and the wild be with you. Blessed be.
Ah,
So I totally forgot to comment on something very important, which was with the analogy of building a skill. The analogy, I mentioned that the analogy fails. I didn't mention where it fails, which is, does not align, like acquiring a skill is generally considered a good thing. You know, there's not a skill that you go, oh God, well, you know, that's a bad thing that you acquired that skill. Okay, I can think of a few, but as a rule, that's where it fails as a comparison, because there's nothing that says losing weight is, you know, a good thing, especially across the board. It's not always a good thing. You know, even the strong health officials can't actually even say that, given that there are points that losing weight is a really bad thing to do. So anyway, that's where the analogy failed. Just because I said skill for other reasons does not mean that I'm implying that losing weight is a good thing, particularly automatically. That's just psychotic. That just feeds into the whole crazy society thingamabob-doohickey. And I guess that, again, wraps it up. Sorry. It's such a difficult topic that I don't know that I can say I actually enjoyed doing this show, but feel that it's necessary. So hopefully you got worth out of it. Crazy blessings to you all. Blessed be.
Would you like to